Pastor announced this morning that this evening's service would be short. I don't know how he knew that, but he tried to ensure it by taking my text for tonight's message and preaching it this morning. So he practically exhausted that text, but I'm going to try to find something different from that text tonight. It's found in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, and we'll stand and read it together, beginning with verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they'd heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, help us tonight as we approach your word. Holy Spirit, give us wisdom and guidance. Give us, Holy Spirit, power in the message tonight. Lord, I pray you'd help me to be a blessing and to be a help to these dear people who've come here on Christmas Eve to hear from the word of God. Thank you for each one who's come this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I can remember when I was a child and we celebrated Christmas. Do you remember when you were a child? I remember one Christmas. My bedroom was right next to the living room where the Christmas tree was. And I could hear what was going on in the other room. And what I heard was a train whistle blowing. So I knew then that one of the things I was going to get for Christmas this year was a train, a Lionel train. Another year we got football uniforms, my brother and I. I can remember another year we got cowboy outfits, guns and holsters and cowboy hat and boots and chaps and all the peripheral items that go along with it. But every year we had a big Christmas tree and decorated the house for Christmas. And I grew up in that environment. But as I got older, I began to learn that there were other reasons for Christmas. And I found out what the real reason for Christmas is. The real reason for Christmas is that Jesus came. You've seen the bumper sticker, Jesus is the reason for the season. And that's a fact. He is the reason we have Christmas. And Christmas is about Him. It's not about trees. It's not about Santa Claus or Kris Kringle or Saint Nick. It's not about family. It's about Jesus and His coming. All these other things are distractions to take us away from the real meaning of Christmas. I want us to look at it tonight in this story. We're going to see some things here about Christmas that I want to impress upon you. Number one, as we look at this chapter, beginning verse 1. Now when Jesus was born. Now I like that. That's what this is about. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, magi. These were educated men. These were scientists of the day. They were astronomers. They were astrologers. They were educated, intelligent men who were advisors to the king in the land where they lived. But these men left home. They left their land some hundreds of miles across a burning desert to come to Jerusalem. Now, why would they do that? Why would they leave home and travel for months riding on a camel through a burning desert to come to Jerusalem? Why did they do that? Well, we're going to see why here in this passage. Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now, there's your answer. They were looking for the King of the Jews. How did they know there was a king to be born? Well, they'd heard and they'd learned from a man called Daniel and Ezekiel and other prophets that there was to come a Messiah. And they believed that prophecy. And when they saw the star, they knew it must be time. It was the time. And they began the journey from the far east to come to Jerusalem to worship this King of the Jews. What prompted them to leave their homeland? Faith. Faith in God's Word. Faith, I'm talking about biblical faith now. Biblical faith produces action. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. A faith that doesn't produce action isn't the kind of faith the Bible's talking about. Because if you have Bible faith, it'll change the way you live, as we've heard tonight in testimonies. It produces action, the right kind of action. It did in these men. And so they left home, and they came to Jerusalem, and they said, where is he that is born, King of the Jews? Now that got King Herod upset. You know why? That title, King of the Jews, belonged to Herod, the emperor. Caesar had given him that title, King of the Jews, and he didn't want to share that with anybody. In fact, he had his own family members killed because he was afraid one of them might take his throne. So when he heard there was born a king, he wasn't appointed a king. He was born king. Herod got upset. When they came saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Couldn't they worship him where they were? No. If you worship him, you must be where he is. I've heard folks say, well, you know, I can worship him out on the hillside or out in nature. No, you must worship God where he is. Amen. And the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Right. If you want to worship God, where do you go? Church. That's where he is. That's where he intends to be worshipped, is in church. So they come to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping this new king, this king of the Jews. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he'd gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. They knew exactly who these magi were talking about, this king of the Jews. He's the Messiah. He's the promised one. He's the one about which the Bible was written. He says, in the volume of the book, it is written of me, the Messiah. So they knew. You know, it's a strange thing. People hundreds and hundreds of miles away knew what had just taken place down in Bethlehem. And these religious people who studied their Bibles and knew their Bibles and lived 5 or 6 miles from Bethlehem had no clue what was going on. Isn't that amazing? By the way, these weren't Jews. These were Gentiles. So the Gentiles had come to worship while the Jews were unconcerned. They weren't interested in a Messiah. They weren't interested in a king, the King of Kings. So they said, well, the scripture says he'd be born in Bethlehem of Judea. And they quoted the scripture. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now Herod's forming a plan in his mind. He's going to send these men to Bethlehem to find the Messiah. And when they find him, he's going to have him killed. What time did that star appear? So you know the story that he had all the male children 2 years old and under killed. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. He had no intention of worshiping him. Not real worship. Pretend worship. And when they'd heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. So the star reappeared there in Jerusalem and led them to Bethlehem, some 5 or 6 miles south of Jerusalem. And stood over the stable. No, it wasn't a stable. We're going to find out, was it? He was born in a stable, but he's not in a stable now. Let's see what it says. When they'd heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great, exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. When they came into the what? House. He's not in a stable. He's in a house. The taxation is now over. The crowd has now left Bethlehem. And now there are houses available. And Mary and Joseph and the Christ child move into a house. So when you see these pictures of the shepherds and the wise men all there at the stable, that's not according to Scripture. They came later. And when they came, Mary and Joseph and the Christ child were in a house. And when they were come into the house, They saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. Whom did they worship? Him. Not Mary. Him. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto, what's that next word? Him. Not Mary. Not Joseph. Him. Gifts. Gold and frankincense and myrrh. These were three gifts that were appropriate gifts for a king. Much like the gifts that the Queen of Sheba brought to Solomon when she came to visit him. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Valuable gifts. Now that's the story. But I want us to get some things from that story. The first one I've already given you. They came because they were motivated by faith in God's word. Number two, they made a commitment. This is a long journey, requiring many months of time, but they determined to make that commitment, and they did make that commitment to travel to Jerusalem and to find the Christ child. Christianity is a commitment. You know, most folks today shy away from commitments. But, you know, if you're going to serve God, it involves commitment. It involves making a decision, making a choice. This is what I am going to do. And I'm going to do it no matter what the obstacles are that get in my way. They're not going to keep me from doing what I am committing to do. And when I got saved, what I committed to do was to serve my King with my whole heart. Not serve him half-heartedly. Not serve him when it's convenient. Not serve him just when it's easy. But to serve him when it's difficult. To serve him when it's hard. To serve him when it costs me something. That's a commitment. I made that commitment when I got saved. And if you're saved tonight, you made that commitment. To turn from sin and serve the living God. That was a commitment. It was a contract, if you will. Between you and God. How's that commitment going tonight? Are you living up to your commitment? Thirdly, it required great effort. To serve God requires a great effort. You know why? Everybody's against you. Everywhere you turn, somebody's trying to discourage you or talk you out of it. Or the devil puts something in your way, in your path, to keep you from it. So it requires a great effort to serve God faithfully. But these men made the effort. And because they made the effort, God rewarded them. They found him. They found him. And they experienced great joy. There's great joy in serving Jesus. We sing that song. You ever sung that song? There's joy in serving Jesus. I think of that song, or how about this one? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, more love he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. If you want real joy in your heart, serve God. You won't find it at the ball game. You won't find it at the theater. You won't find it in front of a television set. I'll tell you where you can find real joy, and it doesn't cost you a dime. Just serve God with all your heart. And that's what these three wise men did. One other thing, I'm going to close. If I don't, Pastor will probably close for me. If you look down there, let's see, verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they'd opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. They presented unto him gifts. How many of you tonight have a Christmas present for your spouse? All right, several hands. You've got a present, a gift for your spouse. What have you got for Jesus tonight? What are you getting him this Christmas? How many of you have gifts set aside for your children tonight? So you have gifts set aside for your children. What are you giving God? What are you giving Jesus this Christmas? You know, we get all wrapped up in giving presents to each other. But that's not what it's all about. This is about him. It's his birthday. How would you feel if they had a big birthday party for you and everybody came with gifts, but the gifts were for each other, they weren't for you? How would that make you feel? How do you think he feels? When we celebrate his birthday by showering each other with gifts and forget all about him, how do you think that makes him feel? What are you getting him this Christmas? How many of you have gifts for mom and dad? That's good. That's not bad. But what are you giving Jesus this Christmas? What are you giving him? Does he deserve a gift tonight from us? What are we giving him? What are you giving him tonight? May I make a suggestion? The gift that each of us ought to give him cannot be measured in dollars and cents. It's measured by our love for him. How many of us would determine to give him a gift tonight? Ourselves. That's what he wants. He wants you. Amen. He wants your love. He wants your service. He wants your life to be spent in his service. How many of us would be willing to give him what's rightfully his anyway? What, know ye not that you are bought with a price? Now I belong to Jesus. You know that song? Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. If you're saved tonight, your life is His. Are you letting Him use it? Have you put your life on the altar? All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and serve Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. Would you be willing to give Him your all this Christmas season? Let's pray. Heavenly Father,